This is The Bible and Homosexuality. I'm your host, Elton Sherwin. How Churches Are Failing Young Christians, Part 2, The Problems with Purity. Today we examine the problems with the purity and abstinence doctrines taught in many churches and Christian summer camps.
A common example comes from youth groups and summer camps where a pastor or camp director passes around a chewed piece of gum, telling the young women if they fail to protect their purity, that is how they would appear to a Christian man looking for a godly wife.
If a Christian woman has sex before marriage, she will appear like a piece of previously chewed gum to her Christian spouse. Wow. We will come back to this terrible lie in a few minutes.
But when I look at what we experienced, it certainly mirrors or mimics the symptoms of PTSD.
More on both these quotes in a minute. But first, in the prior episode, we talked about the benefits of church attendance. We saw that an analysis done by Harvard School of Public Health of over 74,000 women over 20 years, that regular church attendance is associated with lower divorce, less depression, and significantly less mortality. Unfortunately, we also saw that, tragically, these benefits did not accrue to religious queer children. They think about suicide and commit suicide at rates higher than would be expected. Today, we talk about an issue that directly touches more church-going young adults and creates great anxiety. But first, a quick pop quiz testing your Bible knowledge. Which of the following did Jesus say to avoid? Premarital sex, masturbation, making out and heavy petting, non-procreative sex, that's sex for fun or love with no desire for a baby, birth control, gay marriage, abortion, female priests, married priests, gay priests, all of the above, some of the above, or none of the above? The answer is none of the above. None of these. Despite hundreds of opportunities to condemn each item on this list of purity sins, Jesus did not. You can be a Christ follower, take every word in the Gospels literally, and believe none of these are sinful. This is Pop Quiz Part 2. Christian counselors report when young people say they're having a crisis of faith, it is often preceded by what? First sex. In my parents' generation, young women were typically married by age 21. If a young woman had premarital sex, it was usually for a year or two before they married. And most were able to hold on to their faith or regain their faith at the end of this short aberration. In my children's generation, a typical young woman in America loses her virginity today between 16 and 19 years of age. And she is then not married until she is almost in her 30s. After 10 plus years of disobeying the church's rules against premarital sex, after 10 years of shame, it just seems like too great a rift, and many never return to the church, and countless young women lose their faith in the process. And all for a rule, premarital sex is sinful, that Jesus forgot to mention, that God left out of the Ten Commandments. And Scripture as a whole, the Bible in its entirety, which gives a lot of advice about many things, does not condemn. In our opening segment, we heard,
a common example comes from youth groups and summer camps where a pastor or camp director passes around a chewed piece of gum, telling the young women if they fail to protect their purity, that is how they would appear to a Christian man looking for a godly wife.
That was Julie Ingersoll from the University of North Florida, from her article, Inside the Purity Movement and Its Effect on Evangelical Women, read by Descript. A link to the entire article is in the notes. You are not a piece of chewing gum. Your sexuality is not like a piece of gum. Think of your sexuality like learning to draw. It can be awkward at first. The results can be uneven and unexpected, particularly for the inexperienced. But with time and patience and a willingness to learn, it can evolve beautifully. In the opening segment after that terrible comparison to chewing gum, we heard Linda K. Klein interviewed by Terry Gross.
But when I look at what we experienced, it certainly mirrors or mimics the symptoms of PTSD.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're going to talk about the evangelical sexual purity movement, its insistence on sexual abstinence before marriage, and the impact the movement has had on women who were brought up in it, women like my guest Linda K. Klein. She says the movement has traumatized many girls and maturing women who are haunted by sexual and gender-based anxiety, fear, and shame. Her new book, Pure, is part memoir, including the story of how she left the movement. The book also draws on the interviews she did with other women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, including women from her hometown. So what were some of the symptoms that you had and that other women brought up in the purity movement had that you thought were very similar to PTSD?
Well, it started, you know, with nightmares, and that's incredibly common, you know, it was common for me, but it's also something I hear a lot about from folks who I interview about this. You know, a lot of us also had these, this anxiety that lived in our bodies. You know, for me, that meant my eczema that comes out when I get stressed would come out when I would have sexual thoughts or feelings or make sexual choices, because I, you know, had this sort of association of deep anxiety around my sexuality. Whereas some of the people I was interviewing were actually, you know, this was so physicalized that they were having panic attacks, literal panic attacks, and they were going to the hospital.
Whoa. That was Linda K. Klein, author of Pure, interviewed by Terry Gross on Fresh Air. You may wish to listen to the entire gripping interview. I will include links in the notes. Or you can Google Fresh Air Linda K. Klein. This war against premarital sex touches many parts of a young person's life, even if they are not a Christian. The sex ed that they get or don't get in elementary school, middle school, and high school is influenced by this abstinence and purity doctrine of conservative churches. Their access to birth control may be limited. And if they are a Christian, the Christian summer camps or Sunday school or church sermons all tend to preach this purity doctrine. The conservative church's war on premarital sex has failed spectacularly and made America the world's leader among the rich countries in teen births. America is also the world's leader in teen pregnancies. About 1 in 20 American high school girls get pregnant each year. Wow. I call this Elton's hypothesis. So we went through the list before, this list of purity sins: premarital sex, masturbation, making out, gay marriage, and so forth. The more of these that a church teaches that God forbids, the more likely the church will have a sex scandal. It seems counterintuitive, but the more conservative the church is sexually, the more likely its leaders will be involved in a sex scandal. I call this Elton's hypothesis. A quick scan of the internet, every church with a sex scandal that I could find forbids premarital sex, masturbation, gay marriage, and gay priests. If your church supports gay marriage and won't fire a camp counselor or a Sunday school teacher for having premarital sex, blessings. But before you pat yourself on the back too much, ask yourself this: can your high school students articulate when it is appropriate to be sexual outside of marriage? Do they know how to do so safely? Or do they believe this purity doctrine espoused by conservative churches because no one at your church has ever taught them a Christian alternative? Over 50% of our children, on average, will get a sexually transmitted infection or a sexually transmitted cancer or have an accidental pregnancy. And far too many of our daughters will get or have all three. Even liberal churches must take some responsibility for this, for their silence has allowed this to happen. Is there a Christian alternative to this purity doctrine? America's most famous evangelical Sunday school teacher, President Carter, the 39th President of the United States, thinks there is. This is from HuffPost Live. The link is in the notes.
I think Jesus would encourage any sort of love affair if it was honest and sincere and was not damaging to anyone else.
Jesus would encourage any love affair if it was honest and sincere and not damaging to anyone else. In the next episode of How Churches Are Failing Young Christians, we will use President Carter's framework to answer the question: when is it God-honoring for two unmarried people to have sex? In closing, I dream of attending a church where a young woman who lives with her boyfriend can be a role model. I dream of attending a church where the students from the public high school flock to get the full story about sex. I dream of attending a church where queer children get the same benefits from church attendance as straight kids. I dream of attending a church where someone who looks or dresses like Johnny Weir can be loved and celebrated. And I dream of attending a church where young people receive the most accurate and the most useful advice about how and when to be sexual. I believe President Carter has given us the key to developing a Christ-following sexual theology.
I think Jesus would encourage any sort of love affair if it was honest and sincere and was not damaging to anyone else.
Please join me next time as we explore: when is it God-honoring for two unmarried people to have sex? This is Elton Sherwin. Thank you for joining us, and please recommend this series to those who might benefit from it. This is Elton again.
If you know young people who have left the church, please send them a link to this series.